Thank you so much for joining us today at Our Savior's Church, where we are one church meeting in six different locations. And our goal is to help you on your spiritual journey to know God, find freedom, discover purpose, and make a difference in the lives around you. If you'd like to learn more about Our Savior's Church or how to get involved, visit us online at oursaviorschurch.com.
If I could just talk to you just for a few moments before we kind of get into the meat of the message today, we're beginning a brand new series called Legacy. And I know we have a lot of new folks at our church. And let me just give you a little history. Over the last 18 years that Heidi and I have been a part of Our Savior's Church, and Our Savior's Church is 20 years old, six different locations, one church. Over the last 20 years, even when it was just one campus, we, at the end of each year, we took what we would call a legacy offering. That's where every one of our families would bring their best gift, one-time gift, a sacrifice, and would bring that. We've built buildings with those dollars. Throughout the years, we've always been planting another campus or another work. We've been planting new campuses. In fact, the last 2 years, Opelousas has been on the receiving end of that legacy. A couple of years ago, we raised $3 million. Last year, it was $2 million. And all that came so that we could be sitting in the very room that we're sitting in right now. So it just wasn't your legacy offering from Opelousas. It was the legacy offering from Lafayette came here. The Broussard came here. Midtown came here. All the other campuses gathered around so that we could be, in other words, you're sitting in a legacy. That means we built this building in such a way. Have you noticed the concrete walls outside? Do y'all know these concrete walls will still be standing here when you and I are long gone? There'll still be a church here reaching people and building lives in this region and in this area way after we're dead and gone. In fact, you know what they're going to do with, you know what they're going to do with me one day, right? They're going to roll me in here and they're going to put me right up here and they're going to open it up and you're going to walk by it and you're going to say, he looks so peaceful. And then y'all going to go eat chicken and potato salad. Right? It'll be here long after us. All legacy really is the future, though you're not in it, still influenced by you. So many of you have sacrificed so that we could sit in a place like this and leave a legacy behind that's still going to be reaching people, doing kingdom work when we're old, dead, and gone. Thank you. Go ahead. Yeah. But as Pastor Jacob said, this year's legacy, we decided, you know what? Let's do something different. Let's don't build another building. Let's take legacy and let's go reach around the world. Let's go do for others what they can't do for themselves. And so we're so excited about this year's legacy. On December, everybody say December 8th, I'm going to ask you and your family to start praying. That you would pray about a sacrifice, bringing your one-time best gift. And you go, Pastor Yu, what's our goal with that one-time best gift? All six campuses, here's our goal. We'd like to raise $1 million in one day. $1 million in a day. I know, it's a lot of cheddar. And you go, God, what would we do with that $1 million? Nothing for ourselves. I'm so happy that Opelousas is not on the receiving end of legacy this year. We get to be a part of the giving end and to give out. And you go, what are we going to do? Well, there's three things. We're going to join with Malawi Africa. I'm going to show you a video in just a second. We're going to partner and continue the work that we've already begun in Malawi Africa. It is a God-ordained opportunity. Listen to me. My job as a pastor, Pastor Jacob's job as our senior leader, is we're the soil testers. Our job is to make sure the soil is good. Because if you plant seed in good soil, it will produce something. And we're so excited about what is happening in Malawi. And we're going to hear a little bit about that in a moment. In a couple of weeks, you're going to hear about Core Love and the Core Love ministry. That is the Haitian in Haiti, the ministry to the orphans, the forgotten in Haiti. You're going to get to hear all about that. And then it also would include some local outreach outside of these walls, and I'll tell you about them. What we're going to do here in Opelousas is about some new endeavors that we're so excited to reach into. And so we're going to raise $1 million. 350,000 of that will go to Malawi. 300,000 of that will go into Haiti. And 300,000 would be each of our campuses taking a new local outreach endeavor in each of the communities that we're in. We'll divide that up between the campuses so that we can do some local outreach here. And we are so excited about, come on, give God all the praise. So with that, Pastor Jacob just recently went to Malawi, got back from Malawi, and if you would pay attention to your screens, you're going to hear about all the exciting things that are happening in Malawi, Africa.
It was almost 6 years ago that my wife, Michelle, was asked to look into one of the great crises of the world, the AIDS epidemic. It was sweeping across the continent of Africa. There, in one of the poorest countries in Africa, Malawi, Africa, we were asked to begin supporting a grandmother. A grandmother who would take care of the children whose parents have died from AIDS. And what began just supporting one or two grandmothers or three or four by our women's ministry has now evolved into us supporting almost 600 grandmothers who take care of these amazing children. And then we said, what else can we do? And they said, well, these children go to school, but where they go to school, they must be taught under trees because they have no classrooms and no schoolhouse. And so, because of your generosity, we built a school and took them from having school under trees. In the hottest part of the year, they were burning up. In the coldest part of the year, they were freezing. And we built a school that's like an oasis in the middle of the wilderness. Then we said, what else can we do? And they said, we need a well. Women walk anywhere from a mile to 5 miles to get water, carrying it on their head. And so we drilled a well right in the community, right next to the school. Then we said, well, what else could we do for you? They said, oh, if we could have a playground for the children. They have nothing to play on. You're going to see these precious children, many of them 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 years old, walk a mile to 5 miles one way to go to school. And then we drilled the well, built the playground, had the school, and our latest endeavor is to take those schools and on Sunday turn them into churches where the Word of God is preached. We had the opportunity to support a program called Why Wait, which helps teach abstinence. It's Bible-based, it's Christ-centered, right there in the public schools of Malawi. They are teaching the Word of God and teaching children how to save themselves from marriage that not only preserves their purity, protects them from the virus that is deadly and sweeping across the entire continent. Because of your generosity, programs like that have knocked down teen pregnancy 80% and have given children who had very little future and very little hope, a hope that's based in the Word of God and that gives them an opportunity to have a greater future than they could have ever imagined. Look around us. God is using us to break the barriers of pride, poverty, and prejudice, not only in Acadiana, Louisiana, but all across the world. You are indeed leaving a legacy, a future without you, still influenced by you.
Well, let's give God all the praise for that. Isn't it amazing? Could you imagine us putting right there next to this oasis where thousands come, the center of a community? By the way, some of you girls have actually seen the chief of Malawi, Africa, in that region. It'd be almost like a parish, of that region. She's been to our Arise conference and said thank you on several years. She's been to the Arise conference. We thought, you know, you kind of think Africa out in the bush somewhere. She's the chief of, you know, maybe 400 or 500 people. Well, we were blown away. She's actually in charge of over 1 million people. She's the most influential person in that region, and us being able to connect with her to see not only schools built there, but as Pastor Jacob said, the churches built right there beside them. We have that opportunity this year. I'm so excited about it. I think I'll do a dance. Come on, you can do better than that. Let's give God all the praise. It's amazing, amazing. So this year, our legacy, December 8th, I want you to begin to pray now. What could you and your family do as we get ready not only to see that happen in Malawi, and we'll share next week a little bit more on our local and then also on Core Love and what's happening in Haiti. And I also want to encourage you, and I've always encouraged you, but I want to tell you this right now. Get your passport. If you're going to be a part of our church, this is your church, you're going to take a missions trip. You're going to go on a mission trip. You go, I may not want to go. I don't care. You're going. Shut up and listen to your pastor. You need to go on a missions work. You need to go on a missions trip. You'll find out that you are the most blessed people. Even the poor among us is very wealthy compared to the rest of the world. It'll change your whole outlook on the incredible grace that God has had on our nation. And even in a community that we think is a poorer community, it's still, you're going to be blessed. When you get home, you're going to kiss the ground and say, I love America. But God wants to use you. He wants to send you around the world. But by the way, I want you to know this. Jesus was not an American. He's not. And you need to get out. So you can come back and have a heart for your own community. And so I wanted to, go ahead. Let's give God praise for that. Amen. So we'll be praying December 8th. Let me jump into the message today and just talk to you a little bit about how many of you, this is just honest, I really need to know this from you. So I need you to respond. And I'm going to ask you a question. This could be an embarrassing question. And I don't want you to be embarrassed. I don't. But I do want you to respond, because I just want to find out who I'm dealing with today. How many of you have actually ever bought anything off of an infomercial before? You're in church, you lie, you fry. How many have ever done it? Okay, how many of you are not going to raise your hand no matter what? Anybody bought something off of an infomercial before? They call them pitch men. That's the people that pitch it. And man, I was amazed. I did a little research on the, how many of you have ever seen the ShamWow guy? ShamWow. Now be honest, how many of you have a ShamWow? Let me see your hand. ShamWow. Do they work? No? Anybody ShamWow? Let me see. Do they work? Yeah, ShamWow. Have you ever noticed any of those pitches that they give? They talked about ShamWow. And then they get down to the end. And at the end, they always say, but wait, there's more. And you get not just one ShamWow, you get two ShamWow for the price of one. How many of you girls, can I get an amen? How many of you love a good sale where you get more than what you bargained for? Heidi Lynn has come home with bags full of stuff. And she takes out the receipt and tells me how much money she saved me. I said, yeah, but baby, it cost me $500 to save $100. You know what I mean? How many men? Can I get an amen from the men? You saved me money. Oh, baby, it was two for one. I did some research on the ShamWow. They don't really tell you how much ShamWow that has made, but I did find out that ShamWow, that rag, actually cost them 50 cents to make. 50 cents. And by the way, here's some statistics that kind of blew me away. By the way, how many of you have a George Foreman grill? But wait, there's more. Did you get the little bacon maker too? I mean, George Foreman Grill, $200 million annually. $200 million. How about this? P90X. Anybody got P90X? Can I borrow it? Because y'all aren't using it. No, I'm teasing. I don't know. I don't. I'm joking. That's a joke. Y'all are in fine shape. Y'all are fine-shaped people. Okay. Let's close in prayer. Father, we thank you for the opportunity we had today. Anyway, P90X, $400 million annually. Here's my favorite, is the Snuggie. Anybody got a Snuggie? Somebody came up with this brilliant idea of a Snuggie. What is a Snuggie, you ask? It is a blanket that has two holes in it for you to put your arms. It's got two sleeves so that you can just put your arms through it. It's like a robe backwards, and you just lay up there. That way you don't have to get your arm cold to use your remote. You can just lay up in it. And by the way, Heidi and I had two Snuggies, and it was given to us as a gag gift, but we actually used them. They actually work. I mean, Snuggies, ready? $400 million a year. Some grandma had a brilliant idea, cut a hole in a blanket. $400 million. What? How come y'all aren't coming up with these ideas? Wow. But I love those infomercials, the pitch bands. They always go, wait. You can get one Snuggie, $19.99. Never get your arms cold again while changing the channel. But wait, if you order now, wait, there's more. For the price of one, we'll throw in an extra Snuggie for you and your dog. There's always more. There's always more. Everybody say, there's always more. Yeah, there's always more. Yeah, I want to talk to you. What if there was a promise from God that on the face value, the promise would be enough, but there's actually more. There's actually more. That if you looked into the promise, if you bought into the promise, you wouldn't just get the one promise, you'd actually get more than just the one. God is not an infomercial, so please don't walk away here and go, God is not an infomercial, but He does give some promises. If you'll interact with the one promise, there's actual multiple benefits of that one promise. How many of you want to hear what this infomercial is all about? Go, God, if I could just get not one promise, but there'd be more. There is more. And I want us to go into the Word today to show you one of the promises that God has given His people. Everybody look right here for a second. God will always be faithful with His promise. He always waits to see if we'll be faithful with our side. And if we're faithful with ours, then it will open up the doors for God to be faithful with what He promised. And He's never, ever let us down. Can I get a good amen? All right, so I want to go into the scripture. I want to go take you to the book of Psalms, chapter 41, verse 1 through 3. And the scripture says this, happy are those who are concerned for the poor. The Lord will help them when they are in trouble. So you see one of the promises? If we're concerned about the poor, then one of the promises is that the Lord will help you. But wait, there's more. He goes on the next verse. It says, The Lord will protect them and preserve their lives. If we're concerned about the poor, He'll help us, He'll protect us, preserve our lives. And it says, and He will make us happy in the land. And He will not abandon them to the power of their enemies. But wait, there's more. If we're concerned with the poor, not only will He help us, not only will He protect us, not only will He make us happy, but then it says, but the Lord will help them when they are sick and restore them to health. And you ought to give God all the praise for that today. Amen. I'm so excited about this year's legacy that we're going to help the poor. From Malawi, from Midtown campus to Malawi, Africa, from Opelousas, Louisiana to the orphans of Haiti, and then also reaching out into some of our very own community here. And by the way, I want to go ahead and seed with you, what would we be doing as a local outreach in this region? I shared a seeded a little bit of it a few weeks ago, but I want to just tell you again, and I'll talk about it more in depth in the coming weeks. But this all began with a vision, and I use that word. I don't use that word often, but I did have a mental picture of something I think God wanted us to do. And that was back in our Delta Grand days. I was driving to the Delta Grand on a Sunday morning. And how many of you have ever been in the Delta Grand Theater? That's where we used to have church. And I was pulling in there, and I saw something in my mind's eye. And I saw from the back of the Delta Grand, looking towards the stage, I saw the people in there were worshiping the Lord. And they had their hands up. And I could only see the backs. And every single one of them were wearing orange. Now, you know what orange is, right? Yeah, that's the uniform if you're incarcerated. And they were all worshiping the Lord with hands lifted high. The worship team was up there playing, and they were worshiping Jesus. And I thought, you know what? We're supposed to do something. We're supposed to do something there. Well, this past Christmas, some of our folks were handing out Christmas gifts in the jail. And folks that were incarcerated were saying to those, oh, this is from our Savior's church. Tell Pastor Yu I said hello. Tell Pastor Yu to come see me. And several of the prisoners, as they went around, said, oh, tell Pastor Yu I'm in here. Some of you have gotten out and you're back here now. Congratulations. And so it brought that vision back to my mind and said, hey, we got to do something. So we made some initial contacts, had some initial visits of what are the possibilities of us actually taking the resources, because it'd be a big chunk of money, to update facilities, to get the technology in so that when we come to church on Sunday morning, we could reach into, while you're coming to church here, they could be coming to church there, and I could look at the screen. It goes something like this. It would go something like this. So great to see everybody this morning. We'd like to welcome all those who are in St. Landry Parish Correction Facilities. We want you to know, welcome this Sunday morning. We love you. We care about you. Come on, folks, let them hear you. Let them know we love you. So we could be having church at the same time. How many of you know that'd be a pretty cool thing to do? And we could actually build a bridge that when folks do get out, they already have a spiritual family waiting for them, that all they got to do is walk across that bridge and come right here into the house and be a part of our spiritual family. How many of you know? Let me share this with you. Let me take you to the book of Matthew. Watch this. Jesus is speaking. Jesus is talking. Look what he says. I was hungry and you fed me. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was homeless and you gave me a room. I was shivering in the cold and you gave me clothes. I was sick and you stopped to visit. I was in prison and you came to me. Then the king will say, I'm telling the solemn truth. Whenever you did one of these things to someone who's been overlooked or someone who's been ignored, that was for me, and you did it to me. If you want to minister to Jesus, then you have to follow. In fact, Mother Teresa would say, we were not going to be judged on what we did or what we didn't do. Mother Teresa said, we'll be judged by the very verse that you just read. Did you feed me when I was hungry? When I was in prison, did you come to me? When I was sick, did you visit me? That will be judged by Matthew chapter 25. We have a responsibility in our, we have a responsibility in our community. Let me say it again. We have a responsibility in our community. Would you agree with that? We have a responsibility. So I want us to look at, going back to Psalms number 41, I just want to give you five thoughts of the promises of God. You know, there is this more. God's not an infomercial. But there is more than what you just see from the initial promise. And I want to give you, if we'll look at the poor, You're almost buying an insurance policy from God. I want to give you the benefits of looking after the poor. Number one, because I want my prayers answered. What? One of the promises of looking after the poor is that God will answer your prayers. In fact, let me show it to you in the book of Proverbs, chapter 21, verse number 13. If you refuse to listen to the cry of the poor, your own cry for help will not be heard. So he's making us a promise. If you'll listen to the cry of the poor, Matthew 25, if you feed me when I'm hungry, if you give me drink when I'm thirsty, if you go to hospital when I'm sick, if you go to the prison, if you'll come to me, if you'll do that, then I'll hear your cries when you have a need. The Lord will help. How many of you have ever heard that scripture? The Lord helps those who... How many of you know that's not really in the Bible? I tricked you, didn't I? Yeah, the Lord helps those who help themselves. That's the furthest from the truth. That's not true. The Lord helps those who are willing to help others. So that's one of the promises. But wait, there's more. If you'll look after the poor, you'll be lending to God. What? That's what the scripture tells us. Look at Proverbs 19, verse 17. When you help the poor, you are lending to the Lord, and he pays wonderful interest on your loan. How many of you be honest? Yeah, that's pretty cool. How many of you be honest with you? How many of you have a mortgage? I'm raising my hand. I have a mortgage. My house is not paid in full yet, and I have a mortgage. And so you go and you borrow the money to get into your house, and you borrow the money, and guess what they charge you? They charge you interest. That is that, you know, 3.5 or 2.9 or 4.0 or whatever that interest rate is. That means over the lifetime of that loan, you paying it back, you're going to pay them money for loaning you money. How many of you have ever looked at what you will actually end up paying them over the life of the loan? Don't look, it's depressing. You could borrow $100,000 and then end up paying back $180,000 to borrow. So they end up making how much off of you? They end up making $80,000 worth of interest off your $100,000 loan. That's why you need to pay it off as quickly as you possibly can. They don't like you paying it off early. They're not sending you a Christmas card when you pay it off early. They're going to send you a Christmas card if you let it go the full term. Are y'all tracking with me? Wouldn't it be nice to be on the other side of that once in your life? To be the lender? Instead of being the loaner, you know, to be the borrower, to be the one who's actually making the interest off of the deal, God is saying to you, when you give to the poor, you are loaning to the Lord, and he will pay you back with interest on top of whatever you gave. That is a great promise from God. But wait, there's more. Look what it just says. So I can find other ways to worship without music. What? There's other ways to worship without music? You know, we Pastor Nick said it this morning, you know, enter his gates with thanksgiving in your heart. Enter his courts with praise. And we start singing, even when I don't see it, you're working. And you're going, yeah, we're worshiping. This is awesome. And it is awesome. But there's other ways to worship. In fact, look what the scripture says in Proverbs chapter 14, verse 31. It says, if you oppress poor people, you insult the God who made them. In other words, if you take advantage of poor people. And how many of you know there are people who take advantage of poor people? They're called politicians. No, I'm teasing. That was a joke. It could be. If you oppress poor people, you insult the God who made them. But watch what he says. But kindness shown to poor people is an act of worship. That we're actually worshiping God when we are kind to the poor. You've done it before. You know what's going to happen this time of season. You're going to walk inside of, I saw this on TV the other day, the bell ringers, Salvation Army, the red kettles. They're going to, that now they've got a little sign up there that you can actually do with your phone because we don't carry cash anymore. Right, so they're doing that, and I ain't got no cash. Well, they got it now where you can pay on your phone. You can just tap it. I don't know if they have like an automated ding, you know, when you do it or whatever. But they're figuring out other ways to do it. How many of you have ever done that? You've ever given some money? You go, I feel good about that. Yeah, it's good. Or you've seen the person on the sign with the sign on the side of the road. How many of you have ever? Be honest. You're in church. Don't look at them. Don't. You check in your mirror. I'm gonna clean out my glove box while I'm waiting at the line, because what? He said, every time you're kind to the poor, it's an act of worship unto God. Look at me. Worship the Lord. Be kind. Look after. Number four. Because I want to be happy. Everybody say happy. It's happy is just a happy word. Happy. How many of you want to be happy? I want to be happy. How many of you are happy? You're just happy. I'm happy. I want to help you be happy. This fact, Proverbs 14:21 says, happy is he who is gracious to the poor. Happy. In fact, I'm going to give you the secret to being happy because I know the secret to being happy. If you're here today, because not everybody here is happy. You're not happy. You're not happy at all. And you go, in fact, you've said, I just want to be happy. I'm going to give you the secret to being happy. You're going to leave here today and you go, I know the secret to being happy. If I want to be happy, all I got to do is, I'll give you the secret. Thursday, I went hunting. It's hunting season now, and I'm not a big hunter, but I do like to go every once in a while, go hunting, and I went duck and goose hunting. And so I want you to picture me in a blind, all in camouflage. I grew a big old beard. I shaved it before church. and I'm out there hunting, and I'm not the biggest of hunter. And by the way, we shot one goose, one speckled belly goose, and it came flying in. There's four of us in the blind. Our caller said, get him. And we jumped up and everybody shot. Boom. I shot him. There were four of us and we all shot at the same goose, but I hit him. At least that's what they told me. They were like, good shot, Pastor Yu. I was like, I think they were just trying to encourage me. And so we got one special belly goose and there wasn't many birds and we were talking and we had some really great conversation in the blind. See, men don't open up looking at each other. We talk when we're side by side. You girls, I mean, y'all are like, then what happened? Girls talk face to face. Oh, how did that make you feel? Oh, girl, I would have told them. You know, that ain't happening. Mm-mm. You just need to tell your husband. You know, y'all do this. Men don't do that. Men can't. We don't. Hey, dude, how's your hormones? You know, we don't do that. Girls, they do that. How's your levels? Girl, I went to the doctor. You ain't gonna believe it. You know, men don't. We don't do. Men talk when we're looking for birds. So we got a young guy at the end, young guy, and he knew. It's the first time I ever met him. So there's three of us who know each other, and then the one new guy, right? But he knew I was a pastor because the one of the guys that he came with told him, "Now listen, there's gonna be a pastor in the blind." Are y'all tracking with me? So every once in a while, he'd go, oh, sheep, beep. And then he'd go, Oh, sorry, Pastor. And I said, you're repenting to the wrong person, you know. No, I wouldn't do that. I said, man, no worries, bro. And then everyone said, he'd slip again. Oh, Pastor, I'm so sorry. And then he goes, I'm going to be honest. When they told me you was a pastor, I got real nervous. And I said, well, you should be. So we're talking. And he starts opening up at the end. You know what? I just don't know what's missing in my life. I'm a loser. I said, you're not a loser. I said, you're young. No, Pastor, I'm a loser. I'm like a degenerate. My dad asked me the other day, what's your 5-year plan? I said, Dad, I don't have a 5-day plan. I don't know what I'm doing next week. And I'm asking, well, what are you good at? I'm good at talking. Well, if you're good at talking, there are people who will pay you to talk. And we're just going on and on. He goes, and then he said this, all I really want is to be happy. And we're looking for birds, right? We're not looking at each other, right? He's just talking. I didn't realize I was going to come out here and open up today. I just want to be happy. And I was just like, oh, you want to be happy? Oh, why didn't you say that? What do you mean? Well, you said you just want to be happy, right? Yeah. I said, well, I know the secret to happiness. You see what I did there? You see that? Just leave it hanging for a minute. He goes, he took the bait. All right, how do I be happy? Because I just want to be happy. I said, well, you're hunting with the right guy. Because I know the secret to happiness. And this, he said this. This is God's honesty. He goes, you're like Yoda. I know the secret to happiness. I say, you want to be happy? I do. You have to make other people happy. If you really want to be happy, the secret is to make other people happy. Listen, my life, my dream, my vision, my bank account, my promotion, my dream, my money, can I tell you something? You'll never have enough of any of those things ever to satisfy you. There will never be enough. You can't get to a number where it's enough. You can't get to the promotion or the accolades or the spot where it's ever enough. It will never bring you happiness. Happiness doesn't come from the stuff. Happiness comes when you make other people happy. Don't clap yet. You're going to get a glimpse of it on Christmas morning. Parents, you're going to get a glimpse. Grandparents, you're going to get a glimpse. You're going to get to sit in there, right? You're going to sit in there. And your kids are going to come in there going, I can't believe I got it. Thank you, Santa and Mom and Dad. And thank you. And you go, I'm happy. Why? Because you made them happy. Happiness is only found when you start looking after the poor. Can I tell you what made you saw the video. You started clapping. So we built them a school. And then they said, we need a well. So we built them a well. And then, did y'all see the Our Savior's Playground? Did y'all see the rock? It's Our Savior's Playground. And then you saw all the kids on the deal, and y'all were going, ah. It made you happy. You want to be happy? You want to be happy? Happy is he who is gracious to the poor. But wait, there's more. Victor's going to help me this last one. Because I don't have the resources for everything I need. Do you have the resources for everything you need? I don't. I don't have it. But I love what the scripture says in Proverbs 28 and 27. He who gives to the poor will never want. He'll never want. That's a big word, never. He'll never want. But he who shuts his eyes, what does that mean? We're going to put Malawi on the board like today. And you can shut your eyes to it. You can. You can. We're going to put Haiti on the board in a couple of weeks, and you can shut your eyes to it. Yeah, we're going to put our outreach endeavor, St. Landry Parish, and you can shut your eyes to it if you want. Yeah, that's not for me. I just want to stand on the promises of the word. I'm just telling you what the word says. I didn't say it. This is what the Lord says. If you'll be gracious to the poor, if they'll be on your heart, if you'll open your eyes to it, then I'll loan to you, or I'll borrow from you. I'll give you interest. I'll make you happy. In fact, you won't be in want. Things will come to you that you didn't do anything about or for. It's a promise from his word. Are y'all excited about this year's legacy? Let's do this. Let's pray. Let's ask God. Heidi and I are going to start praying this way. Lord, give us a number. What should we give? Not out of compulsion. The scripture says not out of compulsion. Nobody's twisting your arm. But you do what God tells you to do. And we're going to bring that sacrifice on December 8th. And I'm just believing that across all six of our campuses, we're going to raise in one day $1 million. And we're going to go out, build a church in Malawi, build an orphanage, another orphanage in Haiti. By the way, the orphanage in Haiti, we're building it for special needs children. Special needs. In the Haiti, you know, Haiti is you know, around here, we have a spiritual climate. In Haiti, it's voodoo. And if a child is born with a special needs, Down syndrome, crippled, blind, deformed, it's as if that child is cursed. So they push that child away. How many of you know, we want to take that child back and bring him into a house to feed them, care for them, take care of them. And yeah, go ahead. Lord, let's be kind to the poor. So would you just bow your heads with me? Father, we come to you. Thank you, Father, for all you've done for us. Father, we're sitting inside of a legacy. We're sitting in the receiving end today, this building of the gracious gifts of people. Some in the room, but most not in the room. And so, Father, what an honor it is to turn around this year to bring our gifts, not to go to us, but to tend to the poor from Malawi to Haiti, Father, and even to the needs in our own community. I wish we could do it all, Lord, but we can't do everything. But doesn't mean we can't do something. And so, Father, I pray that your Holy Spirit would begin to whisper to the families that are in this room, that you'd put a number, that when December 8th comes, that we'd all give. We can't give equal gifts, but we can give equal sacrifice, that all of us would bring our very best gift to go to the poor. We'll do our part, and we know you'll do your part. So Father, we thank you today. We hear your word. Father, we hear your challenge. Father, we hear your urging to go to the world and reach people and build lives. We receive this word today, this challenge from you in the name of the Lord. With every head bowed and every eye closed today, Christians, would you pray? This is the most important time of our service. I, I don't want us to miss this moment. Maybe you're here today. No one's moving. Just wait. Maybe you're here today. You walked into this church today and you're far from God. In fact, if today was your last day, you're not even sure where you would spend eternity. I got some good news for you. Jesus is not mad at you. In fact, there's nothing that you've done to make him love you more, and there's nothing that you've done to make him love you less. He just loves you. He loves you. Jesus said, you can't enter the kingdom or see the kingdom of God until you've been born again. He didn't say christened or baptized or a member of the church. Those are all important things, but those aren't what make you born again. I was born July 30th, 1965. I was born again the summer of 1983. That's the day I surrendered my life to God. I asked him to come into my life, to be my Lord, which means the boss, that I wasn't going to live for me anymore. I was going to live my life for him. That's what it means to be born again. You go, well, how do you do it? It's as easy as ABC. A, admit that you're a sinner. We have all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Every one of us has sinned. All of us have. Just admit it. B, believe that Christ came to live a sinless life, to die on a tree, to pay for the sins that you and I commit. He's the penalty payer, the sin bearer. He died for you to take your guilt, your sin, and your shame. Then C, confess him as Lord and Savior. I want to pray for you today. I want to lead you in a prayer. If that's you today, go, Pastor, you, I'm ready to be born again. I'm ready today. I'm going to pray for you right now. Would you just slip your hand up? No one's looking at me. Hold it up high all over the building. Say, Pastor, you, I want to be born again. Hold it up high. Thank you. Thank you. One, hold it up high. Two, I see your hand. Three, I'm looking around the room. Four, hold it up high. Five, six, thank you. Thank you. Hold up high. 7 and 8 and 9 and 10 and 11 and 12 and 13 hands. Congregation, I want us to pray with each one of these this morning. Would you just pray this out loud with me? Would you say this? Dear Lord Jesus, I believe you're the Son of God. I believe that on the cross, you took my sin, my shame, and my guilt, and you died for it. I believe you faced hell for me, so I would not have to go, and that you rose from the dead to give me a place in heaven, purpose on earth, and a relationship with the Father. So today, Lord Jesus, I turn from my sin to be born again. God is my Father. Jesus is my Savior. The Holy Spirit is my helper, and heaven is my home. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's give God all the praise for that.
Thanks again for joining us today. If you'd like to learn more about Our Savior's Church or how to get involved, visit us online at oursaviorschurch.com.